Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So I said as always, but actually this is one of our Voices interview episodes. We do these once a month, usually the first Friday of the month. And it isn't always the two of us together, but we have started doing that because we don't like to leave each other hanging. It's too much fun to be here together.
Yeah. And this time I got to do the interview and I'm really excited about it. I am talking with Shayna Firm and Tracy T, who are creators of the Pump and Dump Show. It's a live multimedia comedy show touring across the country right now. And I got to talk to Shayna and Tracy about how they met, why they decided to do this show, what it's like being moms on tour. It's actually not as glamorous and exciting as it might sound. And then what you can expect from an evening at the Pump and Dump Show. And I'm really excited because I get to go see that show in March in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tracy and Shayna are really funny and relatable. And the interview was a lot of fun. So I know you're going to enjoy it. But first, Sarah and I are going to talk about one of our favorite sponsors, Canvas People.
Oh, yeah. So excited to welcome them back this year. But Megan, we were together in California recently, and I have to say, I caught a glimpse of your photo library on your phone, and I have thoughts.
I have thoughts, too. It's awful. Yeah. Okay. So I screenshot a lot of stuff. You know this. I'm always sending you screenshots. So there is, and I have everything set to upload to my library. So like, it is full of just random junk. And it's very frustrating. I don't know what to do. Help me, Sarah.
Well, the problem with that is you can't find those really good photos. And that's those photos that they just seem to get lost because we have so much garbage in our photo libraries. I'm actually really into going back and editing older photos right now because I have just such a better eye for what I like. And my kids are getting older, so I really want to preserve those memories from when they were little. And that is where Canvas People comes in. So they print your favorite photos on Canvas and turn them into beautiful prints. There are so many directions you can go with this. Of course, a favorite photo is a great place to start. But I also scanned one of my daughter's pieces of art recently and uploaded that to Canvas People so she could hang a professional looking print of her own artwork on her wall. She loved it. It looks amazing. And honestly, it was way easier and cheaper and more of my decor style than having the original traditionally framed. So we have a great offer for you guys from Canvas People. If you want to try them out, it's a special limited time offer. They are going to give you guys their popular 11 by 14 photo canvas for free. That's right, free. Those normally sell for $69.99. But right now you will pay nothing. You just cover shipping and handling. So to get your free canvas, you're going to text Mom Hour, all one word, M-O-M-H-O-U-R, to 484848. And you will just pay shipping and handling. The canvas itself will be totally free, but this offer is not going to last. So you're going to text Mom Hour to 484848. Again, it's Mom Hour to 484848. And message and data rates may apply.
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic deal. Very excited about that. Okay, guys, are you ready? I am going to jump into my interview with Tracy and Shayna of The Pump and Dump Show. Hey, Tracy and Shayna, thanks for being on the show.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Of course. I'm really excited about this. First of all, I don't know if you guys know this, but I am coming to see your show in March in Grand Rapids.
Oh, so awesome.
I will be at March 15th. The March 15th, what do you call it? Production? Is that what you...
Show. Okay. Good old-fashioned show.
Okay. And I know everyone's going to really want to know what that experience is like. And unfortunately, when this comes out, I won't have gone yet, so I won't be able to talk about it yet. But I'm really excited to see you guys and talk about it. But what I want to know first is, you know, you guys have backgrounds as actors and comedians, correct?
Yes.
So how did that turn into this two-woman independent show that you just decided to take on the road? That's so huge and ambitious and awesome.
That's funny. I mean, I'm only saying it's funny because when we started it, we had no idea we were ever going to take it on the road.
Oh, okay.
We were, in the throes of new parenthood and we had tiny, tiny babies and like you said, backgrounds in this stuff. And we both were living in Denver and had kind of like given up, but kind of said goodbye to the entertainment industry, I guess, in a way. And so we had these babies and started this show in a bar for free in Northwest Denver, just because we needed a night out and we felt like moms did too. And then that was almost 7 years ago. So, it kind of just quickly developed, where people really wanted to come and really felt like they needed to come. And then it grew from there and we felt like we needed to take it outside of Denver. So it was really organic.
Yeah, that's really cool, because I think so many times, especially if you're in an industry like entertainment or media or something that's really intense and kind of often requires you to be in a specific place or geographic location, it's like people think having kids is the end of that. But you guys found a way to just do your own thing, but still very much in your own wheelhouse, which I think is really inspiring.
Well, yeah, we didn't. It took some. This is Tracy. It took some stumbles for sure. And it took some getting used to. Certainly, I think sometimes people think that we are either on the road in a tour bus, the two of us just touring the country and abandoning our families.
Which might sound really attractive to moms at certain stages of life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's that. Or they think, oh my gosh, how fun this is for you. You guys get hotel rooms by yourself. Mm-hmm. A, Shay and I have never not shared a hotel room. And B, we really learned that the best way for us to do it is to basically drop the kids off at school, drive to the airport, show up, do the show, go to bed at midnight, and then wake up at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, take the first flight out of town and come home and pick the kids back up from school. So,
okay. So let's dig into this, 'cause that was one of my questions further down anyway, but we might as well just get them right now. What is it? I mean, that's like one of those things that to me just sounds so punishing, because when I travel, it's relatively, infrequent that I'm traveling. So when I do it, it's like, I want to have all this cushion on either side. I only want to fly at the time that's like the most like perfect time for me to fly. But you guys don't have that luxury really, because you're fitting this in around your family life. So tell us, what is this? You're on tour from what, January till June?
Mm-hmm. We do January till June, and then we take the summers off, which is so great. And then, and then we do a kind of a shorter abridged fall show up until basically December 1st, when the holidays blow up in everyone's faces, and then we're home. So in that sense, it's nice we get a break, but yeah, it's a lot of travel.
It's a lot of travel. And you guys, okay. So walk me through this. It's a week that you are, it's a tour, you know, during a tour month, you are doing shows every week.
Sometimes, you know, we try to, if, especially if we have to be gone for more than one day, like for example, tomorrow night, we leave to go to Fort Lauderdale and do a show, and we'll do the show. We fly back first thing the next morning. If we've had to be gone like 2 nights, 3 nights, we will try to take a week off between. But so some months there's 4 shows and some months there's 6 shows, but we honestly just physically can't do much more than that unless we were to, you know, like Tracy said, get on a bus and do like a 3-week tour, which I think would be really difficult for our families. So we somehow have made it work. It's physically exhausting, but we try to take good care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's, you know, you do it so much and you hear road warriors all the time. Like you just get down into your rhythm, and thank God for Southwest Airlines, because, at least they have a million different flights and they're always so accommodating. And we just kind of have our routine down. And, you know, I think at first when we first started traveling, it was very much like, oh my gosh, we're free and we're in California. This is the best life ever. And may have stayed out a few too many nights, like late after the show. And now it's
almost, just another day, right?
Yeah. It's almost straight to bed. And where's our protein shakes and our essential oils and our vitamin supplements so that we can get up the next morning, get back on a plane.
Well, I know that doesn't mean we don't have a martini after the show,
there are certain necessities, But I'm curious if you guys, I know for, you know, Sarah and I travel a fair amount together, and we've definitely learned, like, we have certain rhythms. We almost always share a hotel room. And we have certain like personality types about the way we use the room, about the way we how we go to sleep, how early we go to bed, how messy we make the room. What are you guys learning? Like, what have you learned about yourselves? Are you very different in the way you travel? Are you the same? Have you had to compromise?
Gosh, I mean, we've been doing this for like 5 years. It's so, like you said, it's so routine. I mean, I always get the bed closest to like the bathroom wall, and Tracy always gets the bed closest to like the air conditioning in the window. And, you know, we have our, I mean, one time we were doing a project where the people who had flown us out put us in separate rooms and we were miserable. We were like calling each other hey, this feels really strange.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, one person brings the toothpaste and the other brings the face wash.
I love that.
We just have our, I mean, sure, we both have our own idiosyncrasies and, you know, we have our sound machine to drown out each other's noises during the night.
Right.
but really, yeah, I mean, it's just like a second marriage. I mean,
that's
after what, a
yeah,
while,
that's just how it sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
We just kind of know each other's things. And I think one reason we felt confident even doing this is when we did our first, we went out to Mill Valley outside San Francisco and did our first show in kind of a friendly environment where Shay had a bunch of family and we had friends. So we kind of knew it was going to be an easy trip. And we were like, okay, yeah, we can travel together. Cause some friends you love dearly and you cannot travel right. with them. So
yeah. Sometimes you don't find that out right away either. And that's the hard part, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like you guys are like work wives, but with sleepovers, which is just.
So basically
sleepover
just work wives.
We're just basically wives.
Exactly. I love it. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, because this is such a cool partnership that you guys have, which I'm wondering how this even came about. Did you know each other through your kids? Were you connected in some other way before you had kids? Like, how did this start?
We were kids. We were in eighth and ninth grade when we met. And we were really close, really, really good friends all through junior high and high school, stayed in touch in college, each respectively moved to either coast. I was in New York City and Tracy was in LA, but found out that we were having babies at the same time through Facebook. And Tracy had moved back to Denver and I moved back to Denver when my daughter was like, gosh, 9 or 10 months old, and had a play date and picked up right where we left off. So we've been together for years and years and years.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a cool story. And I love the power of kind of how having, you know, even you keep those friends and you stay in touch, but there is really something about having a baby that kind of can bring old friends back together. That just puts you just automatically kind of like how in middle school, everyone's in it together. Like everyone's in the same place and like having the same experience, and having a baby is very similar. Like suddenly you're back in something new and uncomfortable and messy. But you're doing it
for both of us. We had both moved back from the coast after, you know, many, many, many years away from home. We're both Denver natives.
Yeah,
so
okay.
There was that transition back from kind of a big city to a smaller city and what, you know, back to where your family is and all that. And then our daughters are 3 weeks apart. So we really had babies at the same time. So everything, Shayna's daughter is 3 weeks older than my kid. So every time Shayna's kid did something, she'd be like, well, just wait 3 weeks. And then lo and behold, my daughter would do the same thing.
That's so
funny.
So
we really kind of just sort of trucked through motherhood right on each other's heels, which was wonderful.
I love that. It's like you've got someone who's like a half step down the road in front of you. Yeah. Just far enough ahead that you can kind of see around a little bit around the bend. And
in those days, 3 weeks feels like an eternity,
right?
So you're just like, well, when's my baby going to start walking? I'm like, just wait. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, there's Evie walking.
Yeah. Right. Well, so let's talk about, I mean, how this experience of new motherhood brought you guys back together, but also gave you the idea for this show. What can someone expect when they go to the Pump and Dump show? And what is it? What's the experience like?
Well, I think, you know, the number one reason we started it is because we really just felt like moms needed a night out. Mm. And especially in those early days when you're just convinced that everything you do is going to make the child perish if you don't do it correctly.
It's all very fraught.
It's very fraught. It's very stressful. You yourself are a mess and you're trying the best. And I think it's easy to get really caught up in that mania, not to say it's not warranted. But sometimes you just need to take a step back and look at it and say, okay, I'm doing the best I can, and just have a night out and some laughs. And I think what we provide is just the opportunity for moms to laugh at the things we all have in common. Because the truth is, no matter what kind of parent you are, like from the very hippiest of hippie scales to whatever the opposite of a hippie parent is,
right.
You know, everyone has to wipe poopy butts. Everyone is up in the middle of the night. Everyone deals with breastfeeding or bottle feeding. We all have the same things in common and they're all ridiculous and hilarious. Mm. And that's what the show is about.
And we also have, I mean, I think after doing the show over and over, like the one thing that all of us have in common is that raising a human is actually hard.
Yeah.
And it just felt like at the time that no one was saying that, you know, and mom guilt is so intense. So like, We kind of from the beginning created a place where we could just laugh about it and talk about how just like really different our lives were. and how hard it was. And yeah. I think people really clung on to that, especially at the time. I mean, this was pre like Instagram mania, where right. I feel like maybe there's a lot more outlets and memes and things that kind of make you feel included. It was, motherhood's isolating in itself. But I think at the time, I certainly felt extremely isolated. And I think the moms who really came to the show month after month felt that too.
Yeah, and it's so smart of you guys, actually. But a factor of where you were at the time, it's like, you've got this little person and you need a break and you need to get out, but like, mm-hmm. you don't want the break to take you too far away from that experience or something. No. You need mm-hmm. to talk about it and hear about it from other people who have been there. I remember when it would be feel so foreign to me to like go see a movie that didn't have anything yeah. to do with parenthood. I'd be like, well, what does that have to do with my life? Like,
yeah, how that doesn't even sound entertaining. Like yeah.
So this is like that perfect sweet spot, because you're getting that time out with, you know, with or without other mom friends, and you're getting to laugh and enjoy yourself and be free of that, but it's still so relevant to your life.
Right. And it's not just like a breastfeeding workshop, which is also a lovely place to meet right. other moms and have abandoned mothers. It's like, because that stuff does exist too, and we totally encourage that. It's a place to kind of, we called it the pressure gauge, you know, this yeah. big mommy pressure gauge, where you could go and just decompress for an hour and a half and then go back home and mom it up again.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also just something so powerful about being in the same room with other people going through exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I think especially in this internet age, and we're so glued to our computers and our phones, you forget that there's humans around you that are suffering and struggling just like you are, like actual people. And there's just something magical when we laugh about, you know, eating your effing food and just right. being so fed up with someone, you know, trying to feed your kid. And you look around and you see every mom with tears down her face laughing hysterically. You can't help but think you're not alone.
Right.
And there's just something beautiful about that.
Tell me about this band of mothers, because I know that's something that you guys are really putting energy behind, this idea of bringing together your group or your tribe or however you want to call it. You've actually hashtagged it, right? So it's hashtag band of mothers. How is that playing out for you at your shows and in between?
We started years ago kind of theming our tours, and we still don't even know what year it was that we did Year of the Mother. And it kind of helped us discover like what a powerful thing uniting us was, especially when it came to, you know, using hashtags and kind of using, you know, branding the idea of coming together as moms. And I think that the community that we create at the shows themselves, like Tracy was saying, that kind of, you know, camaraderie and commiseration that you feel at a Pump and Dump show, Band of Mothers was just the perfect way to put it. So we had a Band of Mothers tour. What was it last year, Trace?
Sure.
And they all blur together.
I don't know what year it is anymore. Right?
I have no idea.
I had a great time. I have no idea when it was.
Yeah. But that concept just really stuck for us and really stuck for our, it feels weird to call them fans, like Pump and Dump people who like to come into the show. And, so this year we created a Facebook group called Band of Mothers, and there's just something in this world where I feel like people can be so, judgy, mm-hmm. This like momosphere that's happening, and you can feel so judged, you can feel so guilty to really just put a positive on it. I mean, we have these mom karma cards we give out at every show that just says you're doing a great job. And I will tell you that like, it says you're an awesome mom. You're doing a great job. You got this. And I hand them out. Like I watched a mom at a Starbucks where her kid puked all over the floor and she was like cleaning it up, trying to like put, and then like her kid was crying. She's standing there putting cream in her coffee, you know, in this like embarrassing, just overwhelming moment that we've all felt. And I just walked up to her and I just handed her a card and walked away. And like, you know, 2 minutes later, when she kind of got herself together, right. she walked by and just looked me in the eye and said, thank you. I needed that. And yeah. I burst into tears.
Of course. Like, yes.
You know, I mean, why not more of that? And so that's what we talk about at the show. Tracy's always talking about like ass slaps and high fives, you know, like when you see a mom having a tantrum at Target, why not, you know, hand her a card and tell her she's got this and you get it. And that's what Band of Mothers is about for us. So spreading that as like a movement is, you know, is kind of just what we do.
I love that because you are in those moments and it is like the most fragile you will ever feel is that moment where you're publicly parenting or your kid is not doing what you think they should be doing or they're melting down or whatever your trigger is, your personal trigger, everything is falling apart. And it's like just, and you don't get, like your kid is not going to give you a high five for wiping their butt.
Ever.
Or cleaning up their vomit, right?
Like ever. Unless that high five is actually covered in poop, and then he will absolutely want to high five you.
Exactly. But it'll probably be like on your lips.
Absolutely.
Yes,
exactly. Just a face smack.
Oh, yeah. So that, I love that. And that makes me a little teary because I definitely have had moments in my, and I still get them, even though I don't have little ones running around and causing a scene anymore. You still need that support, even as your kids get older. Well,
and giving it out
feels good too.
It does. Yeah. It really, I mean, and I think, yeah, that's another thing. We've kind of forgotten about being altruistic with each other. And you just don't know the backstory to someone's crappy day.
Yeah.
And sure, maybe they weren't as disciplinary as they should be that caused their kid to cry about not getting a toy. But maybe that kid actually has been sick for 3 weeks. Or maybe, I mean, there's a million different reasons. And I guess, yeah, like, why not just spread a little love, and because you've been there too, and instead of just all this eye rolling and.
Well, and what can it hurt?
It can't. Exactly. Disapproval
doesn't really help anything. But support can always do nothing but good. It can do nothing but help, right?
Yeah, you can just never be, frankly, you just can't ever really be too nice.
No.
You know, I mean, it's just never going to backfire on you.
That's very, very true. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about the social media thing, because I understand that you guys are maybe taking a different tack on social media this year that I think a lot of people will be able to relate to. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk more about the show, what it's like being on tour as a mom, and a lot more in just a minute.
Okay, guys, I'm really excited to bring back our sponsor, the University of California Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. So we have a lot of moms in our community who are looking to make career changes or maybe get back in the workforce after spending some time at home. And it's really cool how things have changed. I mean, this was not available to us as an option 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, really. But a ton of UCI's continuing education programs actually do happen online. So they're flexible, but they still offer a real immersive online classroom experience. And you're getting to collaborate with your peers and learn from expert instructors with industry experience. They've got certificate programs, specialized studies programs available, everything from business to IT, healthcare, finance, and law. So you could advance your career in as little as 6 months. And since not everyone gets to live right down the road from the UCI campus like Sarah does, the online courses make it so that you can take these classes and learn new skills and advance your career really wherever you live. The spring quarter is coming up and registration is open now. So you're going to visit ce.uci.edu/podcast. To learn more, that's ce.uci.edu/podcast to learn more about these great online classes that you can jump into taking right away.
Okay, Tracy and Shana. So we got just like kind of the high level of what it's like to be on tour as a mom. We're going to get back to that in a little bit because I know there's moms at home going, how on earth does it work? Does that even work, right? But first, I definitely want to talk about this. You talked about kind of hashtagging this idea of Band of Mothers, making it into an online community, a Facebook group, or is it a group or a page?
It's a Facebook group. It's a private group. So.
It's a private group. Okay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understand that you guys are maybe handling social media a bit different this year. Like it's an intention of yours to be different. And see, when I say intention, it makes it sound very like purposeful. Right? So
well,
you guys could feel really good about
what we
it.
Do. You do intentions in 2019.
Exactly.
So you're very on brand.
So it's not that you guys are giving up. It's that you're choosing a different path, right? So
we
tell
quit.
Me about
We're
that.
We're out of there.
Yeah. Tell
we
me about what
that
your,
first.
Your approach to it and how why it's kind of evolved that way. Because I think a lot of us are kind of there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Trace, yeah. Who wants to talk? It's
well,
like.
So here's the real honest truth. We're performers, you know, we have a certain amount of pressure put on us by the people who help us run our company, by, you know, our agents and people who this is a business and we have mouths to feed and people to pay and staff and expectations in this time of our lives. And a lot of that has to do with your digital presence. Mm. And, you know, what Shay and I did from day one was a live show. And we always said we're a very lo-fi business in a hi-fi world. And we were super proud of that. And at some
point, it's actually not that impressive. We were impressed with that saying for a long time. And it actually means absolutely nothing.
Again, guys, it's the intention behind it, right? If you call it.
We were super happy doing our show and, you know, and posting when we thought about it. Yeah. And then at some point, something shifted and everyone, it felt like everyone who we met or knew or had a meeting with was basically like, you need a podcast, YouTube channel, IGTV, Instagram feed, and
more followers,
and right. You need 50 million followers by next Tuesday, or you're never going to be worth anything in life. And we, I think we got a little caught up in that and it started to consume, our day-to-day work days because we were constantly so concerned about, are we posting enough? Are we doing, we don't really want to do a YouTube channel. We're on the road. Like,
you have to be everywhere.
Yeah. And we don't want to put on makeup anymore. We do that on the show. And just, it's just, and also you only have a certain amount of bandwidth, right?
Right.
I mean, our creative energies went into the show and now they go into the podcast. But so I think we just kind of got caught up with that. And then just recently on the plane, we got to talking and we looked at each other and almost at the same time, we were just like, we don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm.
We were like, I hope this plane goes down.
It's over.
Well, we didn't want to do it. And, you know, and it's not that we begrudge other people who do. We're actually, frankly, quite jealous and impressed. Because people do it so wonderfully and it's entertaining. And look, I love me some Busy Phillips is just as much as anyone does. It's just not us. And we're also just not that interesting. And so I felt like we were trying to put our personal lives on display in a way that didn't feel organic to us or even truthful. And so we just decided not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And the thing that I think a lot of people around us want us to be is internet stars, which is just not our lives are interesting to us. Our show's always been about the moms and about the show itself and really never just particularly about Tracy and I. And so I think and our long-term goals with the show are similar. So it didn't feel very authentic to us as a company and as a brand either. So we just decided to scale back the kind of desperate reposting of memes to get more followers and that kind of a thing, which I feel like, you know, really works for other people. And we enjoy reading and we enjoy watching people IG their stories about their kids all day long. It just wasn't what we wanted to do. So our 2019 intention was just to kind of take off that pressure and realize that, you know, we're doing just fine with what it is that's important to us, which is the show and now the podcast. And it's been kind of a freeing, cool, it's really just a perspective shift, to be honest, you know, just a strategic shift in what we post about. You know, we were always scared like, oh, we're posting too much about the show. But the truth is the Instagram for us is a way that we tell people that we're coming to their city. So that's what it's for.
And if you gum it up too much, then there's a chance that they won't see that if they, you know, pop in.
And it's not like we won't take pictures on tour of funny things or do this or that or let people into the world of the Pump and Dump show. I mean, that's fine with us. It was this pressure that we felt to be something that we're just not. And those things actually do exist. And again, we're impressed that people can post 12 times a day and have that kind of management. We just can't while we're touring and doing our lives.
But the irony there is that there are people who are, you know, social media stars who would kill to have a successful live show. So it's like we all think we can all do all of the things, but really we're only probably actually good at like one or two.
It's really true. And I think one of the best things was the two of us admitted out loud to each other and then, you know, to the world that we just don't want to be internet stars.
Yeah.
And I think for a while there, I felt like we weren't allowed to say that. So we just kind of went along for the ride and we've had some wonderful projects and collaborations and no regrets with any of it. I think it was just really nice to come back to ourselves.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, you can't do all of the things and what we do really really well is our live show. And what we believe in for moms is coming to the show and being together. And those are the things that make us happy and proud and fulfilled. And if we, like you said, if we focus on that, it's only going to get better. And it's only going to be a better experience for the people who come to our show. And that's what's important to us.
I love that. And honestly, I've been around the world of like parenting digital media for a very long time. And the people kind of high up, the people at the table to make decisions, sometimes are kind of like act out of fear. They're like lemmings. Like, oh my gosh, someone said, YouTube is it now, let's go. Yeah, everyone go. And then it's like podcasting, whoop, like screed off, you know, the record and then go in that direction. And you can't run in all directions because you'll never get any traction if you just keep like all over the place. So I think that's actually, I think there's going to be a bit of a backlash and people are going to start specializing again. That's my prediction for like.
And we're just, you know, I'm always like, I'm truly impressed, but you know, we're just like, who is taking all these pictures of these people? I mean, it's just usually it's just the two of us on the road.
Yeah.
And we don't, I mean, it's not that we don't want to keep it real because I think we do a really good job of doing that. I mean, I literally post the leftovers that I eat in the morning because that's the only reality TV we really do. We don't need to be beautiful all the time. We don't even look presentable enough to be unpresentable.
Yeah. Well, and there's the joke about Instagram boyfriends and husbands who are specially trained for that job.
I mean, it's fascinating to us. And I just want to keep it fascinating to me. And what was happening was, you know, this from a more personal perspective, as I was looking at the business and I was looking at this digital world and I was just having so many negative feelings about, you know, about how it even trickles upward, you know, or that doesn't make sense, trickling upward, by the way. But like,
gush
you know,
upward.
Yeah. But like the, you know, the people, like you said, making decisions, the book agents and the, you know, web conglomerates and all these people where everybody just became a number.
Yeah.
And it's so anti what our show is about. And I'm hoping, like you said, if this bubble pops and things go back to another way, that what will be powerful is just that our show has just grown and has almost 7 years of experience and material and that it can live past whatever this kind of not real numbers thing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's definitely hysteria around it right now. And again, like, just like you guys, I love a well-curated feed, but we can't be all things to all people. And I think it's great because you're keeping the joy in it. And honestly, I think that what'll happen is you'll keep your energy for what matters and that's your show.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing yourself out and getting negative, and you don't want to get where you're jealous and like grumpy
because other people are
doing it better. And yeah, it's yucky.
You know, and we actually fell in love with our podcast. We're newbies. Yes. We're not seasoned veterans like you are. And it's so great to be on your show, but it was nice to finally find our own voice in that too. We put that off forever because we just couldn't find a way to, but we were also like, there's so many great ones. Why do we need to add to the mix? You know, who are we? We don't want to be lifestyle experts and we certainly aren't parenting experts. We had to find something to talk about. But once we did, you know, it's been great.
Yeah. And I almost feel like podcasting is kind of almost the anti hysteria just because it's like, it forces you to slow down and connect and to be very real. It's very hard in a podcast to not be yourself. You can't keep up a facade for an hour. Mm, or if you can, I don't know. Maybe people can.
It's interesting. Like I was saying, you know, the show, we've really, you know, we tell stories and jokes and things that have to do with us personally, obviously. But, you know, the podcast is kind of like, oh gosh, okay, well, here we really are, Shayna and Tracy. And if people are expecting that from us, that's where they can find it. And that's been kind of a scary thing, but also a really interesting thing to kind of open ourselves up into that world to our fans. It's been cool.
We will link to the podcast in the show notes, but I'll just for people who are listening right now and going, what? It's just called the Pump and Dump
podcast,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
The Pump and Dump podcast. So you guys can look it up in your apps or go to the link that we will provide. I find that podcast listeners are voracious and they want other podcasts like badly. So,
Such an amazing community. And it is, it's coming from the person who managed our social all these years, it's a fascinating place because you really become popular or listened to on your laurels. There is no cheating your way to the top of being a popular podcast. And it's so liberating.
It is. It is very liberating.
It's just so pure.
Yeah, I know. There's purity there. Like, at some point, someone's going to figure out a way to game the system, and then we're all going to have to figure it out, right? Oh, but yeah. I mean, let's hope that's a ways out.
Yeah.
Because I love the purity of the space. And the community is so engaged, and our listeners are just the best. Like, when we hear from them, it makes our day.
Yeah,
you
right?
wouldn't think that people would take the time to write you a long email when they just listen to you in their car for an hour already. But they do.
I love that.
It's awesome.
It's just an honor. Okay, guys, I want to go back and talk a little bit. We touched on what it's like to be on Tourism Mom. It sounds like you guys are getting in and getting out. You've got this rhythm down. You've got this routine. But there must be, any working mom knows, especially a working mom who has to travel, that there are times when you miss things or you screw up your flight schedule or you miss a flight. I mean, you guys must have war stories of how that plays out in your family and kind of how do you work with that? How do your kids feel about it? And how do you just make sure that you're keeping, I'm not going to use the word balance, but like that you're keeping things kind of, right? That you're
That's keeping things 2018.
On some kind of track.
Gosh, you know, I don't know.
you aren't.
I have no idea. You know, it's funny. Our kids, I almost feel like it's, Trace, I don't know if you feel this. I almost feel like it's getting a little bit worse now because they're at this age. My kids are 6 and 8. And I feel like they're really missing me when I'm gone versus when they were little and they just kind of had this routine thing and we were all in survival mode.
Right.
Now it's my son says I'm going to a concert, which is hilarious. He also thought I was a Canadian.
Oh gosh. Okay.
I was like, oh no, comedian, honey. Comedian.
Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was very confusing.
I was like, what? Oh. So you really don't care. That's fine. Right. So I don't know. I mean, it's been easier in that aspect than you would think, like emotionally, but I think for Tracy and I, we're really good at making sure our families are taken care of for when we're gone. Like, we have food for everybody. We have the pickups set up. Like, I have a babysitter who does my pickups because my husband's not home from work early enough. And then they switch off. Like, there's a lot of coordination that somehow we've juggled the last 4 or 5 years we've been touring. But you just kind of do it. You know, it's like you go into like emergency mode and you just like get it done. Would
but
you
I
say?
Think it, yeah, for sure. And I do agree. I mean, it's they're getting older and they're more vocal, right? They know, and they're getting smarter, so they know how to make us feel worse, which
that's probably what I was trying to say.
but you know, I was just talking, we were driving back from school yesterday and Evie, I'm like, okay, well, don't forget Mom has a show this week. And she goes, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, well, you'll be back the next day. And I felt actually really proud of myself for establishing the fact that she knows I'm never going to be gone that long.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I am. You're right.
And it's not a big thing for her. It's just part of her routine and your routine and your life as a working mom, which is cool.
Well, and that's what we try to remind people a lot is that in many ways, like I just said, I mean, we get summer. I mean, we still work, but we're not touring during the summer. We have a very nice schedule. We certainly schedule our shows around important dates that we know we don't want to miss if there's a recital or obviously birthdays and stuff like that. But you know, gosh, there's moms who are doctors and nurses.
I know. I'm like far less concerned about us.
And wives who are working nights and going to school still. And we are just a drop in the puddle of how hard moms really work. We just seem to get, it seems more...
Well, it's
in
exotic.
Your face because of what we do.
Yeah. But. It's novel. Most people don't have that kind of schedule, but you're right. Like working moms come in all stripes and it's always hard. And I'm curious, you know, you said the thing about your schedule and making sure that you don't miss big things. Did it take you any time? Like, I am a classic accidental double booker and something that would make me super nervous about scheduling out a year of shows in advance is that I would blow something. Big.
Oh, sure. We've blown stuff. I mean, I've literally like the day before a show been like, oh, so tomorrow is my daughter's birthday and we have a show. And so gotta like break it to the fam.
Right.
I mean, Tracy was gone when Evie lost her first tooth, you know, like there's definitely like things that happen.
Yeah.
And there's just, you know, for me, the most painful thing is just leaving sick kids. I mean, that's the worst when you have to peel yourself away from your baby who's sick and that is actually the worst thing. And there's no scheduling for that.
There's nothing you can do about that.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it, you know, yeah, I think you just get very good at reading your school calendar and putting it all in and making sure you think of every month. But yeah, we've, you know,
do you guys, are you guys, home, like call home moms, or do you just decide, do you just get it done and then get back? Cause I've seen both sides and I'm kind of more of a, just get it done and then get back and jump back in than a constant communicator when I'm traveling. But you know,
we're too busy. I mean, honestly, we'll like be like, oh gosh, let's FaceTime the kids really fast. And like they're never interested. Room. Yeah. We're like in the greater
show.
Yeah. They're just like, you're wearing a lot of makeup and then it's just over. Yeah, no, we're so busy. I mean, honestly, because we try to make them so short, we work on the plane, we get off the plane, we end up where we're at, we try to eat something, then we're working again.
Right.
I mean, we were in a city, gosh, what was it, Omaha or something, Trace? And the wonderful owner of the club was like, oh, let me book you girls a massage for tomorrow. And we were like, we'll call you
in
the morning.
Great, but...
But we spent the whole day working in bed. I mean... Yeah. We had the luxury of laying in bed and working, but still, like, it's so fast and furious every show, that there isn't a lot of, I mean, honestly, it's just like, I'd rather get it done and get home.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I also, when my kids were in a time when they were sensitive about me being gone, I thought like when I called, it just created problems. Like
it does.
It just reminded them I wasn't there.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's funny. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. Honestly, I'll call home if I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And then it's pretty quick. But, you know, we're both very lucky. We're very lucky. We have supportive husbands who, you know, married actors and comedians and knew what they were getting into decades ago. Right. So there, it's no surprise to them. And then we both have our own village of people that help take care of it. And so now, I mean, thankfully my mom is the one that takes care of Evie when I'm gone, and she's excited to see Nana. So, you know, hey, great. Everybody wins.
I love it. Okay. So tell me about your guys' summers. Now, when you're back in Denver, do you hang out together or do you take a break from each other? Like, are your kids friends? How does this all work?
It's so funny. We live like without traffic. We're like 20 minutes away from each other, but Denver has become so trafficky and our schedules are such that, we actually don't get to socialize as much as we would like. We just don't live on the same side of town. So, you know, we're together a lot. We wish we could get the girls together more. It just doesn't happen as much as we'd like it to. And the husbands are good friends too, but we just never, I mean, obviously like, you know, we do things together, but it's certainly not as frequent.
It's not like every weekend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting. I mean, you guys are spending all this time like together all the time and then,
it's honestly not that. I mean, Shay and I would share a house, I think, if we could, but maybe not that. But
you know, it's funny, Trace, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like someone asked me, do you work on the plane? And I said, well, you know, we actually do work on the plane a lot, but there's often flights where we'll get on and we'll just be catching up because we only like work together every day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we'll be landing and all we were doing was just like chatting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're best friends and we have a lot to catch up on. And I'll be like, oh my God, that whole plane ride just went by and we were just talking.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's just, we're so lucky that we have that relationship and that we, you know, enjoy the amount of time we get to spend together.
I love that. And Sarah and I do the same thing. Like we talk all the time, all day long, but it's all about work. And then when we actually get a chance to sit, you know, to chat, it's like, oh yeah. And what's up with your kids and what's happening in your life? And I think that's just kind of, I don't know. I think that just kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very normal. Okay. So you've got all these shows coming up. This is going to go live in February. So you're still going to have lots of months left where people can come see you. The show is about how long?
An hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, hour and a half tops, but mostly like an hour 20. We get you in and out and back to bed.
Nice. Okay. And and they happen. I think the one I'm going to is on a Friday. So they're sometimes on weekends. Sometimes you also have weekday shows as well, or is it usually weekends?
The majority of them are on the weekend this tour. There's a few that are in the middle of the week, but listen, it doesn't matter. Do Saturdays matter for moms? I mean, you still have to get up
it's
with
just
the kids
a day.
The next day, whether it's a Thursday or a Sunday. Right. So
that's why we keep it short.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, describe it. If you had to sum it up, would you call it is it stand up? Is it audience participation? Is it storytelling? Is it all of the above? Like, kind of describe it in a nutshell.
So I'd say that 50% of the show is music.
Okay.
So I play the guitar and sing and have been writing music comedy for the last, 17 years or something. It just wasn't always about parenting. A lot of it is music. Tracy plays the cajon. Now we've kind of upped the ante. Sometimes she's in on the songs, which is super fun. There's storytelling, there's segments, there's games, there's prizes. We do a whole segment that has been one of our most popular segments, where when the moms walk in, they write down the most effed up thing their kid did recently.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay.
And so we read those, and that's actually what our book is. We have a book called Parentally Incorrect that's a collection of those that we've collected over the last, several years. But so we read those, so every show is so different, and all those stories, you just cannot make them up. They can be so ridiculous. So we do that during the show.
And inevitably that will lead to some crazy story that we read, and then some mom standing up in the middle of 1,100 people, like, talking about it more. And
right.
It just becomes like what? And then just a conversation. So it's really fun.
So every show ends up being a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And it's a full on event, but you're in and out in an hour and 20.
An event is a good way to, there's videos, it's multimedia.
Right.
It's
and then we like to meet
circus.
Everyone. It is parenting circus.
Parenting circus. I love it.
We meet everyone after, like, we love to go, we take pictures with people and say hi. And, that's always kind of a fun part where everyone, has their last drink and says hi. We really try to make it a condensed night out because we get it and they're tired. And some people are pumping in the bathroom, or at the table.
Well, that's what I was going to say, an hour and 20, it kind of gets you a nice breastfeeding window if you can time it just perfectly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Well, when I come, I'm definitely going to get a picture with you guys, put it on our social media. I'll tag love you, it. But hey, no pressure if you don't respond.
We're responding. We're just not posting what our kids did 20 times a day.
Got it. I love it. Well, this has been great. Tracy and Shana, thank you so much for coming on again. Everybody's listening. We will have links to the show and where you can get tickets and the podcast and all the stuff you guys have going on at the Mom Hour. Just find this episode and you can find it in the show notes. And I am really looking forward to seeing you guys in March. Thanks so much.
Likewise. Thank you.
Megan, thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome.
All right, guys, we are coming back with you. This is Sarah and Megan. I loved that conversation with Shana and Tracy. I am a little jealous you get to go see their show. I checked the tour dates and I'm not quite going to make it this season, but I would love to.
Why don't you just come up to Grand Rapids and hang out with me?
See, now I want to. That was an awesome conversation. So before we wrap, you guys, just wanted to remind you about our Patreon community. There are rewards dropping this month for our patrons who are eligible for the bonus audio classes. We're getting ready to record those soon, and it's been really fun because we approach them a little bit differently from our regular episodes. And you actually get two of those bonus audio classes per quarter when you are at the editor or producer level of Patreon support. We also have a private Facebook group for patrons where we have had so much fun interacting a little more closely with you guys and sharing behind the scenes stuff. If you're not familiar, there's more information about Patreon at patreon.com/themomhour. That's where you sign up and can join the community. And we would love to see you there. Megan, that was an awesome interview. And we will be back with you guys on Tuesday.
Sweet. See you then.